Would you open your Bibles back to the earlier reading, please, in John chapter 20? That's our main passage for this morning. And we'll ask the Spirit of God to guide us. Our Father, we recognise that you are here in the person of your Holy Spirit. Give us attentive ears, minds that work, and wills that desire to follow you in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Some 12 months ago, the church, St. George's, commenced a series on what was called the signs of Jesus. Some people call them the miracles, but it's the same thing. There was a break throughout the rest of last year, and then this January, the series was recommenced. Today, it finishes. The signs are not ends in themselves. They're not just things that happened. They all point to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the reason that he came to our planet to die for our sins. So there's something specific about it. Now, as we look at this in John's Gospel, I want to start at the beginning in a minute, but first of all, to commence at the end. The last two verses of chapter 20 tell us that John did many other, Jesus did many other miraculous signs, etc. And then he gives us the reason as to why the Gospel of John was written. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now you can know a verse like that and yet not know it. You can read it and think, oh yes, that's nice, but do we really know it? Does it have an impact on our lives? Well, we're going to see what happens as we go through this chapter. From verses 19 to 23, the emphasis is the peace of God. Now, the peace of God is firstly peace with God. But peace must have an object. It's not an ephemeral thing that just floats around. All around us there are people who say, I want peace. Or the family goes out and you say, ah, peace at last. Or something to that effect. But the peace of God in its object is Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us this in Ephesians. He writes that Christ himself is our peace. So if you say that you have peace, then you must believe in Christ. Peace is not our designation of what we think should happen from the scriptures. It is a person, Jesus Christ himself. Now, having said that, we all have confronted and still confront sin and wrath and guilt and condemnation and the enmity of God. And all of this has been dealt with by the death and resurrection of Christ in his propitiation of the cross, so that he who died as our substitute makes peace between us and a holy God. So I need to ask you, are you at peace with God? Or is it still a search situation? And you can know his peace this morning, just as you sit here, by asking him to make it real. You're sick and tired of searching and scrabbling around, and you want to know the peace of God, which is Christ himself. Now, in our story, Jesus, who died, now appears in resurrection life before the fearful disciples. They were locked into rooms. Will you notice that there were doors? It's a plural word. So there was more than one door. And Jesus appears. We're not told that he opened the doors. We're not told how he appeared. He just appeared. He does that sort of things at times. And he said to them, peace be with you. And he showed them his hands and his side, and they were naturally overjoyed. There was the physical representation of Jesus. And I believe we will still see those wounds in glory. Our wounds will be dealt with and gone, but his wounds will be still with him, because we shall see him. He is the one that we shall see first when we're called to glory. And then a little bit later, he again says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now, will you notice what happens next? If you've got your Bible open, verses 22 and 23. And with that, having said peace, and with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, the word that's used here for breathe is the exact same word in the Greek translation as is used in Genesis chapter 2 when God breathed life into Adam. Same word. The other time that is used in the book of Ezekiel, where the prophet Ezekiel sees all the dead bones, which is a picture of the nation, Israel, and God breathed a life in them. And this, and then unusual demonstration, the bones came alive. That's the only way they could come alive. Same as the only way our bones can come alive too, as God breathed his spirit within him. The Holy Spirit of God continually manifests himself in new ways. We can't put him in a pattern and say he's got to do this. He works in our service this morning. He speaks to us. And that's his prerogative. And this little passage here in John refers to the continuing mission of Jesus. What he came to do, to die, to rise again. His Spirit is coming. It's not the coming of the Holy Spirit as we understand Pentecost when he breathed on them, but it's a precursor. It's a pointer. It's the aspect of saying that God continues his mission in Jesus through the disciples, the gospel of forgiveness. Now it's time for a question, because you're all listening, aren't you? Are your sins forgiven? That's what this gospel is all about. Are you forgiven and therefore have peace with God? Or are you unforgiven and still scratching around like the chooks do in the dirt? Oh, don't tell me that. Well, it all goes on in our head, you see. I can't see what's going on in your head, neither can you see what's happening in mine. But that's where the battles are, where we're looking here and there, and we often try and hide the fact that we're still searching, we're still wondering what this Christian life is all about, and we can so easily become lazy. Peace is a person. Now, it doesn't mean that all our problems and concerns will disappear. We're human beings. Robots don't have problems, human beings do. But it's a matter of God dealing with us in his peace. The presence of his peace is a person as we continue. The next part of the story is in verses 24 to 29. When Thomas, who hadn't been in the original gathering, came along, the other disciples said to him, "We've seen the Lord." Oh, he said, doubting Thomas again, "Unless I see the marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." It's a definitive statement. Now, Thomas and his mate Philip are a bit like us. If you remember the account earlier in John's Gospel, chapter 14, where Jesus is talking to them and they said, "You know, what are you talking about?" And Jesus shows them in his words, "I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And if you were here a couple of weeks ago when I spoke, I dropped a couple of Greek words in, which it's not always good to do, but I said ego eimi, and you've all remembered that, I know. That's the I am, where Jesus, it's a definite statement of who he is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Well, Thomas and his mate Philip are here in this story. Philip doesn't say anything. He leaves it all to Thomas. But when Thomas saw Jesus, now we don't know how Jesus got into the room. The word doors, as I said, was plural. He just appeared. But he said, my Lord and my God. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said that regarding Jesus Christ? My Lord, he's the boss, and my God. And know that he is with you by his Spirit every step of the way. Believing is seeing. Not seeing is believing. You believe in Christ and it all becomes clear. We live by faith, not by sight. The last part of the story is where we began, verses 30 and 31. Well, Jesus did many other signs and miracles that there are too many to be recorded in the book. And then again, we emphasise that this is why John wrote the gospel. These are written that you may have a think about it. Oh, that you may discuss it. That you may wonder about it. No, that you may believe. Believing is definite. Believing must have this object. Belief doesn't float around the church building. That Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So another question, are you alive this morning? That's a good one, isn't it? Physically we might be, mentally we may be. What about spiritually? Are you really alive? Do you know that Christ is living within you? When John wrote his first letter, in chapter 5, verse 13, he puts these words, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you might hope to have eternal life, not that you might consider having eternal life, not that you might discuss with your mates about eternal life, but that you know. Do you know? You see, if we don't know, then where are we? We're running around like a, well, whatever you want to put there, dog with its tail cut off. That we may know. We are freed from sin and we're justified. Now, we still have our problems. We still have sin as a bother, but sin is defeated. And we work from the reality of the cross and the resurrection, not towards the cross and resurrection. If you're a believer, you've been through the cross and the resurrection and the coming of the Spirit. And life, no matter what the difficulties are, is in his peace and his purpose and what he's working out in your life. Death is defeated. We're resurrected. And our sins, past, present and future, are defeated. We died with him. He arose as our representative and he took us to heaven. Oh, what about those Old Testament passages? One Old Testament and another New Testament. One's in 1 Kings chapter 17 about Elijah, and Paul's great chapter on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians. Well, that's your homework. You see, you need to think about what you've heard this morning, because God has spoken. And so you need And no apologies. You need to get out your Bible this afternoon or this week and read these passages and then ask yourself questions. What is God saying to me? What is God teaching me through his word? The easiest thing to do is to go home and throw the Bible in a corner and hope that you find it again next week. There's no life in that. Anyone can do that. So there's the homework. And just get ready for the test when it comes. So we better pray before you have a panic attack. Father, your word cuts us deep. We so often switch off, or we think it's all right for tomorrow or for other people. Help us to realise that if we're Christians, then we need to be fair dinkum about our faith. And if we're not Christians, we better face the reality of what it means that Jesus died for us. So thank you for speaking. Thank you that we had the opportunity to listen. And may we listen hard and do our homework for the glory of your name. Amen.